Welcome to the Garden Gnomes and Garlic Cloves second book club meeting here on the Garden Party Vampires Discord server. I am Tina Capricorn.
And I'm Elizabeth Summers.
We are so excited to have everyone back here to listen to us talk about vampire romance. It's really what we all need in these dark times. I just have a few announcements before we start with our meeting. Our December books are super exciting. I've never actually read a vampire-themed Christmas book. I don't know if you have, Elizabeth.
I have not.
You haven't? I haven't either. So, A Bite Before Christmas, which is also written... It's a collaboration, actually, by Lindsay Sands and Janine Frost, who were both authors that we featured this month. Obviously, Lindsay Sands, A Quick Bite, Janine Frost, Halfway to the Grave. So kind of a little bit of a rehash, but I like both of those books. I thought the characters were fun and compelling, so I'm excited to see what A Bite Before Christmas might have. And of course, if you can... get a copy on IndieBound or on bookshop.org. It's so important right now to shop local and to shop independent. And the great thing about indie bookstores, they're just like any other bookstore. You can pre-order. You can have books delivered to your house. And you can also, a lot of them also do curbside. I know Malaprops locally does that. Which brings me to another point. Garden Party Vampires, you do get 10% off. If you shop for any of your book club books at Malaprops, and the code, I believe, is in one of the chats here. I think it's in announcements or welcome. It's Romp Vatica, all caps, 10% off. So, but yeah, and our next books are A Bite Before Christmas and Shadows Claim. So, yeah. All right, Elizabeth, I want to start with your reactions. What did you think of A Quick Bite?
Okay. So it definitely took me a while to get into it.
Same.
I'm not exactly sure what it was, but like that first interaction that we see where there ends up being like a cucumber in the human's pants. And I'm just like, first of all, who would ever do that? Who would ever be like, Katie, I'm going out to the club and I'm going to put a cucumber in my pants? Like just like... like, choose something that stays warm.
That's a pro tip right there for anyone going out these days, stuffing their pants. Choose something warm in these winter months. I mean, this is Canada. So Lindsay Sands, a Canadian author. So I was definitely like, okay, this is the Canadian version of a bad guy, a pants stuffer.
Right.
An anemic pants stuffer.
I mean, like, why not just go with, like some socks? Like the old standby.
And you could even put some rice in the socks and like warm that up. So then your crotch is really warm.
Or like take a condom, put some pudding in it, warm it up with your body heat.
That's a lot of preparation. But you have to make the pudding.
But I couldn't get over thinking of this man being like, I'm going to go get laid tonight. I'm going to go meet some hot chick.
If you stuff your pants and you're going out to get laid, what do you think the end result would be?
Right. Eventually, somebody's going to open up your pants and they're either going to want a salad or they're not.
Yes. They're going to want, be like, pudding and cucumbers or no thanks.
Yeah.
I'll pass. Hard pass.
Yeah. So that took me a while to get into. But once they started talking about like their vampire history, then I was like, okay, this is really cool because this is so different than any other vampire book that I've read.
I agree. I think the origin that Lindsay Sands puts with her vampires is what drew me in, because I was also like you. I was also very lukewarm about Greg, the romantic interest, the guy. You know, he's a psychologist, you know, which to compare to last month's read with Edward, you know, he's a high school student or a 100-year or 200-year-old high school student. So I don't, you know, it's not fair to compare, but also, the Atlantis and the nanobots really saved it for me as well, I guess. And like that kind of idea is a little more sci-fi than I was expecting initially when she described all of the family hanging out around Greg tied up in bed in baby doll.
God, and she said baby dolls so many times.
How many times did she say baby doll? I'm like, you need to think of another word for lingerie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I listened to it. Did you listen to it on Audible?
I listened to
it,
yeah.
Yeah.
I listened to the sexy robot read the book.
She was a very breathy, sexy, and then she said to Greg, and I'm like, that's an interesting narrator.
Yeah.
I didn't like her reading either.
Me either, yeah. Yeah, I thought, yeah, the baby doll thing, it really bothered me how many times she said it, but I'm glad, like, we moved past that. I also was not a huge fan of Greg. I don't know what it is about him. But something I just didn't like. And I think your comparison of like a guy with an actual like grown up job versus a 200-year-old high school student is very funny. And I hadn't thought about that before, but he did not have the swagger of Edward at all.
Agreed.
I kept picturing him like such a dud. And then like, she kept writing him as like super sexy, like every time he was naked, Canadian it was like, sexy. Oh my Lord. But like, I was picturing him like such a meh.
I always pictured him as one of the guys that was the pilots on that sitcom Wings from the 90s. Did you ever watch that?
I didn't.
They're just like vanilla white guys, milk toast. It's the 90s, so they wear their jeans a little bit too big, and they tuck their button downs in. But you can tell at the time like those jeans were cool because all of the guys, the romantic interests in that show wear these big jeans, and they're just, you know, they have the mousy brown hair, they're white, they're like, I'm Greg, or I would think about this old Greg and like that sea creature. And I'm like, that would actually be a little more interesting if he was somehow related to old Greg.
That would be so fascinating.
Who drinks like Kahlua out of a boot? Isn't that what it goes like? I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Kahlua out of a boot. I think that old Greg would have loved to have been in that situation. And I bet he would have thought of more ways to describe lingerie.
Oh, baby dolls. I mean, I could probably Google five other terms for lingerie. Maybe that's the only lingerie they have in Canada.
But, like, don't they have, like, Google? Couldn't she type in, like, synonym teddy? Or, like, synonym baby doll?
Thesaurus? Wait, I have one. I don't even know if baby doll is in a thesaurus, but I'm going
to
check.
Wow. I feel like we should just take a moment to talk about how you have an actual real-life thesaurus.
Oh, my gosh. I wrote my first book not having a physical thesaurus, and I have no idea how I did it. I just love having a book to look up words in. But I'm not sure if Baby Doll would have this thesaurus version of what we're looking for.
That's There's a good baby. Point.
There's baby.
What about nightgown?
Yeah, there's just baby. There's no baby doll. Baby-ish, babysitter. Nightgown.
Was this book written in the 90s?
This was actually a re-release. So A Quick Bite, I want to say, was a re-release because this book was actually recommended. Thank you so much, by the way. Shout out to Gretchen at Malaprops, who helped me so much with my book list for Garden Party Vampires and GGGC. Because it's a bit daunting picking books, you know? There's so many books. I had never read Lindsay Sands. This was really fun to read. What are you talking about? Get me back on track here.
Oh, you were looking up to see if...
Nightgown.
Nightgown. Mm. Okay, but while you look up that, I also thought one thing, another thing I thought was really cool about the book was that the vampires could tell what was wrong with humans, not in all cases, but in a lot of cases and a lot of things that are, you know, kind of hard to diagnose. And I was thinking, oh my God, like this could solve like the healthcare crisis. Like we could go to vampires to diagnose us. Like when we go to like the auto parts store and they just plug something into your car, like the vampires could just plug into our necks. We could give them a quick bite and then they could tell us what's, if we're healthy or not.
That's not a bad idea. And I attribute all of that, that like knowledge, that sixth sense they have about health to the nanobots, like merging kind of with them, you know, their ability
to kind of. But that makes a lot of sense because the nanobots are healing them. And so, of course, the nanobots would have this, like, would sense what's wrong with other people around them. Oh, that makes so much sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also wonder how the nanobots help them with their telepathy. You know, and because the nanobots obviously communicate with each other, and that must be how the vampires do. But I often wonder, like, how is it they can do that with humans? And it must be that technology that permits them also to be like, oh, you've got a cold or whatever. Nightgown, just so we circle back around. Pajamas, nightdress, night shirt, night clothes, pajamas, PJs, chiefly British, nightcap, lingerie. So she's part of the Commonwealth. She does know other words besides baby doll. Maybe that's just the only word. Maybe they don't use the word teddy.
Maybe. I don't know. I just thought it sounded very 90s to me. Like I was picturing like everybody in like Empire waist, like little nightgowns.
This was a reissue. I think this was written in the early 2000s or maybe late 90s. I should know this. Sorry, y'all. You can look it up. I also wanted to know your opinion of how Greg and Luciana stack up against Bella and Edward. I mean, classic vampire couple. I guess not classic, but the gold standard?
I don't know. I didn't buy it. To me, like, it felt like, well, because I, being somebody that came, that worked in mental health world for a long time, like, people are, like, you're kind of poor, like, unless you're at, like, the very top of your game, which I understand he's supposed to be, like, one of the specialists in phobias or whatever, but I just can't picture that he's that fancy, and, like, Luciana and her family are fancy AF, like, like, they, I was picturing them, like, the royal family. And I don't know. I wasn't feeling the charge. Like for me, like Edward and Bella, I was like for me, they fell in love on such like an intellectual level first. And Luciana and Greg, like what, like she like feeds on him for a second. He gets a stiffy and like now they're meant to be forever. I just didn't.
Well, he had a similar trope that Bella had, and that Luciana couldn't read his mind.
Right.
And that that kind of indicated that he was the one in this story, which this was written before Twilight, interestingly. I'm pretty sure it was. And then also, she referenced the council a lot, and I also was thinking frequently of the Volturi, like the vampire council and their rules, and Uncle Lucien, and kind of how he had a very loose set of morals in comparison to a humans, I guess, in Western civilized society or whatever. But really, he was just trying to hide that, you know, he was afraid to be in love. He was vulnerable too, you know? Okay.
Yeah, and I liked that, like, their council, like, another thing I really liked about this book is that everything wasn't based on, like, religion in some way. So many vampire books are so deeply entrenched with Catholicism, and I thought that was such a breath of fresh air.
Yes, it was fun too, like the twins and her family and that sense of family.
Yeah.
And then Greg making these big meals, and then, you know, how if you're born a vampire because you're born with the nanobots in you, you do eat, and then eventually you stop aging or whatever, something happens. I kind of was a little fuzzy on that, but you do eat. And so these characters that are the twins that are always hungry. And so Greg cooking is like this big hit, and he's talking about his chili. And, you know, it's just funny to me too, that she's 200 years old and she's never eaten any. This just never occurred to her to try chili. I'm like, okay, all right.
Yeah. And I did. Yeah. And it was really cool how they explained the need for blood instead of mm-hmm. it being like a, you just want it. Or like in Twilight, like a pain, like the fact that like the Neonos actually need it to heal you.
Yes.
That was so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was really cool. And a really interesting approach to an old concept, you know, vampires are, there's so many books out there. It does stand out as one of the most original.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted to kind of take a step back and kind of look at Lindsay Sands in comparison to Charlene Harris and Stephanie Myers, who we read last month, but also, you know, the idea of like Charlene Harris, you know, Sookie doesn't stay. I mean, spoilers, Sookie doesn't stay. Sookie dates around. How about that? Sookie has many love interests, but we think of Sookie and Bill, and it helps that Anna Paquin married her on-screen love interest to kind of solidify that in my mind anyway for pop culture references. But then, you know, other famous vampire couples like Spike and Buffy, or Angel and Buffy, you know, who have, she as a character changed, and so her love interest changed. And like recently I saw this really awesome tweet by Stacey Abrams where she talked about how Buffy's relationship to Angel at the beginning of Buffy the Vampire Slayer was because she was coming into her power, and how she needed that relationship to kind of guide her through that transition and becoming who she really was. And her relationship with Spike, which was very volatile and kind of crazy, and a lot of stuff had happened to Buffy at that point. She, and Stacey Abrams made the point, she was the power. And so that volatility and passion and all of that was appropriate. And it's just like miles away from Lysiana and Greg.
Yeah.
Which is fun because that's the like spectrum of vampire romance. You know, we have, we just like everyone else, we have relationships that come in all shapes and sizes. But yeah, Stacey Abrams having some insight on couples in vampire romance, who, fun fact, Stacey Abrams is also a fiction writer. She writes thriller and romance novels in addition to delivering Georgia. Elizabeth is from Georgia. Do you have any comments, Elizabeth?
I mean, it's just so exciting. I can't believe it. You know, I love that Georgia went blue. I never thought I would see it. Growing up, right outside of Atlanta in a very like old money kind of town, you know, where most of the people my age, and I mean most, were very conservative, just like their parents. And it was rare to find a friend that thought like I did. And it's just so cool to see that the majority of people in Georgia, you know, voted for women's rights, for, you know, LGBTQIA plus rights, for transgender rights, for everything. I mean, it's just an absolutely amazing. I mean, because when I was in high school, the Confederate flag was still a portion of the Georgia flag. It wasn't voted to, they didn't vote to remove it until my senior year of high school. That's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the fight still continues. They do have a runoff election, which is happening January. And if you want to contribute in any way to Fair Fight, I believe that is Stacey Abrams' action organization, political action organization that helps make sure Georgians have access to the ballot, which is so important. And also you can contribute to the individual candidates' campaigns, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, Stacey Abrams, fiction writer, amazing human, and a Democratic dream come true.
For real. Because in Georgia, there are a lot of people that have been told that their vote doesn't matter, that you know, it's a pain to vote and it's not worth it. And so there's a lot of vote, and there's also a lot of voter intimidation, especially in, you know, areas outside of Atlanta. And so, and even in this most recent election, there were polling places actually in the area that I grew up in, which is Metro Atlanta, where people had to wait 11 hours to vote. So, I mean, that's pretty messed up. And so for Stacey Abrams to be going person to person, registering folks to vote and telling them how important their vote is such an amazing act. And the fact that she's been successful with it is just, it's so cool.
She's cool. She's one of my heroes for sure. And again, you know, this Christmas donating money to Fairfight is a great way to express your appreciation. You can donate in someone else's name as a gift. Again, that's a great organization to support. All right. Well, I just want to close our meeting. Is there anything else? Oh, we wanted to talk a little bit. We need to do a Garden Party spoiler-free review of Halfway to the Grave by Janine Frost.
Yeah. And because, Tina, you mentioned Spike and Buffy, I wanted to kick this one off saying that, like, if you are all about the Spike and Buffy fantasy, like, you should read Halfway to the Grave.
For sure. That Halfway to the Grave and Janine Frost, she has a very rough and tumble, very not Lysiana and Greg kind of gritty feel to her books. It's definitely an enemies to lovers kind of a trope. The backstories are well developed if you keep reading within the series. I've read several of them. I've rated some of them on my Goodreads page. Check it out, Tina Capricorn on Goodreads. I'm getting to all of them. I've read a lot over the years, and it's nice to write a few little notes about what you think about books, especially because I like to reread books, this was a reread for me. But wonderful work with Janine Frost. Any of her books are great. The Night Prince Saga, also by Janine Frost, is great. And that is the origin story of one Mr. Vladimir Tepesk, Dracula. That's a great series. Okay. Yeah. And also, special personal announcement. Boop. I am actually an indie author in addition to running this podcast about vampire romance books. And my book, The Anchor of Time, is now available for pre-order. Long Road to Publishing, finally available. And I'm so happy to announce that it is available on indiebound.org. And you can also pre-order it right now from malaprops.com, which is my local indie bookseller, whom I love. Have many fond memories of going to as a kid and sitting on the floor in the kids section just thumbing through books. My grandma would probably be next door, or maybe in the bookstore. There's the wool shop next door, you know. So just a lot of great memories at Malaprops. But anyway, The Anchor of Time, you can pre-order it right now. Check out my website for more information, tinacapricorn.com. And yeah, we will see you for our next Garden Party Vampire Book Club meeting here in December. For more information, check out my website again, tinacapricorn.com. Anything else, Elizabeth? Am I getting it all?
Buy Tina's book.
Oh, thank you. Yes, buy my book. And please buy it indie. Support indie. It's so important right now to support independent business owners, independent small businesses like Malaprops, and like independent artists like me.
Yes. And it's really easy to order online at Malaprops. You can pick it up, and they also have delivery. So whatever is more convenient.
They also have delivery. Yeah. Just like any other place online, you can do pre-order at Malaprops. You can do curbside delivery, and you can have it shipped to you. Actually, one of my good friends, Shannon, I ordered a bird book online for her birthday, had it shipped to her, and they wrapped it, which is awesome. They do some gift wrapping sometimes, so 'tis the season. Yeah, I think that's it. Anything else?
I don't think so.
Covered it all.
Oh, if you live in Georgia and happen to be listening to us, please vote.
Please vote. We'd love it if you'd vote. And have a great Thanksgiving. Right? It's Thanksgiving. It's so crazy. Where are you going for Thanksgiving, Elizabeth?
Well, I'm gonna go to my parents' house. They live just, you know, a little over an hour away.
Yeah.
What about
nice. You? I think on Friday we're gonna do Ford Family Friday, Thanksgiving style, outside. And so Adam and I might be alone on Thanksgiving because I think the boys are gonna go to their mom's. And so I always do a rewatch every year of Lord of the Rings. And so we decided we're going to try to eat like a hobbit on Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's so fun. So
we're
going
to do 7 a.m. breakfast, 11 Z's. Let's see. 7 a.m. is breakfast. Then there's 9 a.m.
Second breakfast.
Then there's 11 Z's. Then there's 1 p.m. luncheon. I have this all written up on my chalkboard. 3 o'clock tea, 6 o'clock dinner, 9 o'clock supper.
That's awesome.
So I wanted to try to have like a little something at each of those. And I don't know, I thought it would just be fun and watch some movies and hang out. And then Friday, we're going to hang out with the family. So
awesome.
And be thankful. You know, you got to be thankful right now.
Yeah. What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for my health, your health. I'm thankful that someone we both know didn't win the election. thankful for my cat. I'm thankful for you. How about that?
Oh, thanks, Tina.
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers. Well, thanks All right. for listening.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everyone. I think we're going to round it out here. Is there anything you need to list that you're thankful for, Elizabeth?
All the things that you said. I'm thankful for mm-hmm. you. I'm mm-hmm. thankful for books that take my mind off the news. And That's I'm thankful one. That the weather is so beautiful today. It is such a gorgeous day in Asheville.
It's a great fall day. It's a wonderful fall day. If you're done listening to this, which we are, I might go outside for a walk. It's pretty nice out.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, until next time, have fun, garden party vampires. I don't know how to end this.
I'm just going to keep waving until I find the off button.
Oh, wait.